We begin the current daf Masech Tzitzubes daf Chav Ches. We begin on the bottom of daf Chav Zayim Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we learned in the last two Mishnayos regarding the Eishes Kelyon, when there are different captors or different soldiers that come into the city, the wives are automatically forbidden to their husbands, unless we have testimonial to the contrary, because they're forbidden even if it was done by Einus, and we assume that they were Nenas. Now, that the previous Mishnah said that even if the husband's testifying with his wife saying, I know for sure nothing happened to her, doesn't help because the person is not believed regarding himself and regarding his wife. Now, the Mishnah had quoted an incident with Reb Zachariah ben Akatzev, that he was a Kohen and therefore his wife was forbidden to him when there was siege laid to Jerusalem, but the Braisa taught that Afal Pikit, even so, he designated for her a house in his courtyard, and it was permitted because they made sure never to have Yichud, to be secluded one with the other, because they always made sure to have the kids there. So on that, the Gemara continues and says, Boya Abaya. Abaya asked, Mahu lasas begrushakin? What's the halacha? Can one do that? For example, let's say Kohen divorces his wife. Then he's a Kohen is forbidden in a grusha, even though she hadn't married anyone else in the interim. What's the halacha? Could he also live with her in the courtyard and do the same thing to make sure that they're not going to have a certain situation that's forbidden, for example, yichud, or for sure not to have bia? And is it comparable to the case that by Reb Zachariah ben Akatzev that he did the same thing as the Gemara explains? Hasam hu de bishvuya. You're right. By Reb Zachariah ben Akatzev, we said he's forbidden to his wife because if she's nevelah l'pasala, which is these avdei kechavim, these non-Jewish soldiers, then she's forbidden as a zayin to her husband. But that's a case of what's called halacha shvuya. In other words, that there's a concern, as it is in all cases of captivity, then maybe she was nevelah. But it's just a chashash, it's a suspicion. And therefore, hikilu, maybe over there they made this leniency and allowed such a situation where they can live in the same courtyard. Aval hacha, but over here, where you have a definite isadai raisa of grusha to the kayin, maybe lie. Maybe there we wouldn't allow a kayin to live in the same courtyard as his grusha. Idemolation, maybe there's no difference. Just like over there, we find that you're allowed to live in such a layout, so too even in the Grusha. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. The Talmud, learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamagarish, as Ishta, if someone divorces his wife, Leitinase Bishchunase. So she shouldn't get married and live in his neighborhood. And the reason is because she recognizes all his hints and his winks and all the different things because they were married. And maybe that might cause to a Devar very inappropriate that they might have be it together. They might come to inappropriate things because they were married once before. Now we continue on top of Chav Chesem and Aleph, Vema Yekayin, and if the one who divorced her was a Kayin, then Leitodur Imay B'mavir, then even if she didn't get remarried, she shouldn't live with him in the same Mavir. Mavir is when there's, the way it was in Talmudic times, that houses would open up into a common courtyard, which is called a Chatzar, then Chatzeris would open up into a common area, which was called the Mavir, which the Mavirs would then open up into the Rosh Hasharab, the public domain. Now the reason is because maybe he might have beer with her, and the Kayin is forbidden to have beer with a Grusha, which is what his wife is. Now, if it was a non-Kayin, that wouldn't be a problem, because as long as she doesn't get married, then she could live in his neighborhood, because he could actually remarry her. So there's no concern if he goes ahead and takes her back. But with a Kayin, that's a problem, so she shouldn't live in his mavi. Imhoi kfar katan, if it was a small town, small village, so zehoi ma'isa of Amr, this was such an incident, and they said, the Kfar Katan Nidin Kishchuna. So a small town is like a neighborhood, and therefore, just like when they get divorced, even a non-Kayin, she shouldn't get married and live in this neighborhood. So too, the same thing applies for a small village. She shouldn't live in the same village because of the inappropriateness. But one thing we see that we answered Abaya's question, that definitely we see that a Kayin should not live with his Grusha in the same Mavoy, and definitely not in the same Chatzah, which is even closer. It was again only regarding a Shvuya in the case of Zachariah ben Akatzev, where there they made the leniency because it's only Chashash. But when it's a definite Issa of a Grusha, then we wouldn't allow that for a Kayin. So the Gemara asks them, fine. So, but the question is, who gets pushed away from who? So they can't live in the same neighborhood. But they were. Now they both want to live in the same neighborhood. Who has to move? The husband or the wife? So Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here to tell like Lina Braisa. He nitches mipanam. If a Kayin gets divorced, so then she has to move away. Ve'en hu nitcha mipanah, he doesn't get pushed away from her. So he gets to stay and she has to move away. Ve'em hoysa chatzah shalah, but if it was her courtyard, well then hu nitcha mipanah. So although they were living in her house, but now he has to move away from her. Now, Ibailu had the following question. What's halacha if they sheared? It was written under both of their names, the courtyard. Now who has to move? So the Gemara says, Tashima, come in here, look at the Braisa. The Braisa says, he nitchas mipanam. She gets pushed away from him, she has to move away, and he could stay here. So the question is, b'maya skinu, what's the case of the Braisa? Ilema b'chatzer shalai, if it's his courtyard, well, pshita, obviously, he doesn't have to move out of his own house. He doesn't get to take the house, and he has to move away. Ve'ela b'chatzer shalai. Well, so what are you going to say? It's talking about her courtyard. But Vatanya, it already said in the Braisa, it said if it's her courtyard, then he has to move out. So what's the case talking about when we said that she has to move away from him? Now, obviously, it's talking about a case where it's sheared courtyard, and then we say that she gets pushed away and she has to move away. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot because Dilma de Agrimager. Actually, maybe it's talking about that no one owns it. Maybe they're renting. If they're renting, but they want to stay in the neighborhood, then she has to move away and he could stay, but it doesn't resolve the question if it's a shared ownership. So the Gemara says, "Amai havala." So what's the conclusion? What's the halacha in such a case when it's a shared chatzar? Who has to move away? So Gemara says, "Toshima, come in here from a pasuk in Yeshaya." It says, "Hine Hashem mital telcha." Behold, Hashem will take you and move you away. Tal tela gover, like the exile, the moving, the constant wandering of a man. Now, Amar Rav. Rav says, "What's this curse?" The wandering of a man is harder than the wandering of a woman. And from that pasuk, we can infer that obviously when it's chatzah shel shneihem, so only obviously they both own it, but they can't stay in the same neighborhood because a kohen can't be in the same movi as his wife, as the grusha. So therefore, it's she has to move away because for a man it's more difficult, and therefore he gets to stay. Now the Gemara continues on this theme about the relationship of a husband and wife after the divorce. So Tarba and Linda Braisa, Lava Heimena, that if the husband took a loan from his wife when they were still married, now how could a husband take a loan from his wife if everything she has is his, is Benichsi Aviha, is that she had what's called Nichsi Malug, which is property that she holds on to, it's just he gets to eat the pears. And as Rashi explains, we're talking about a case over here of a Kohen that divorced his wife. So now after the divorce, Ein Nifras, she cannot go ahead and collect from her ex-husband, the Kayin, by herself, because we don't want that discussion to become intimate. El de'achar could only be done through someone else. As we explained, there are certain richukim that are necessary when the Kayin divorces his wife. They can't live in the same mavo, even if she's not married yet. Same thing applies to her collecting a debt. They can't have conversation because, again, a Kayin is forbidden to a grusha, and that could cause to something inappropriate. Now, moreover, Amar Rav Sheshes, he says, "V'asul kaman l'dina." If they come to us to the din Torah, l'mizakinelu, we don't pay attention to them, and therefore, because it's inappropriate that the two of them are coming to din Torah, they shouldn't even be talking. Rav Papa, he says, "Shamutim mishamtinelu." We actually excommunicate them, and if Huna Bereid Rishu Amar, he says, "Nagudi namim again dinelu." We actually give them lashes. Now, however, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, "Tana be'evil rabsi." We learn in what literally means to say the great mourning, but it's a mesecht, it's what's commonly known as mesecht smachos, it's one of the small mesechtes, that it's a collection of braises that says, b'med v'mamurim, it qualifies this halacha. It's only shenizgarsha min hanisuin. This, that she can't go ahead and collect from him straight, is only if she got divorced from that they were married. Avakashenizgarsha min erisin, but if they were only halachically engaged, which we would do both of these procedures at the wedding, by the chuppah, but if she was only engaged, then the fras of the atma, then she could go ahead and collect from him herself. And the reason is she inli b'gaspa, they're not so comfortable. They never were intimate one with the other, never got married, and therefore then we're not concerned if she's going to collect her debt by herself to anything inappropriate. Now actually, the Gemara brings an incident in Hahu Aris. There was a certain kayin that was engaged, the arisasai, and the one that, the woman that he had broken off, that he had been engaged to, the Asla Kameh, the Rabbi, they came in front of the Rabbi. Now Yosef Ravada Bar Master Kameh, so Ravada Bar Master was in front of him, and Uki Rava Shlucha Ben Tayu, so Rava went and sent a messenger to go ahead and communicate between the two of them. He felt that this, that they had divorced from Erisin, that they shouldn't be talking to each other. So Amalei Ravada Bar Master says, Bavom Rav Nachman, as we just quoted this before, Tana be'evil rapsi b'chul, we learned able rapsi that if they were divorced from Erisin, that she could go ahead and collect from by herself. So why do you need a go-between, a mediator between them? Let her talk straight to him by the court case. Samalei, so he responded, Rava responded, Kachazina de Kogaisi Badadi. I see that they're very comfortable one with the other, that she gets his winks and they're communicating through all this body language. That means to say that they're very comfortable. Therefore, even if it was divorced from engagement, it's still inappropriate for them to talk straight to each other. Ikidamri, actually, there are those that say a different version that, Loyoki Rava Shlich Bantayr. Actually, Rava did not have a go between. So Amalei Ravad Bamasni says, Nekamar Shluch Bantayr. Why didn't have someone go in between them? So Amalei, so Rava responded, Bavama Rav Nachman, Tanabel Rav Sebuchulu. We learned that we don't have to win from engagement. And that Ravad Bamasni said to him, Hanamile Hechadele Gais Badodi. That's only as normally it is because they were only engaged, is that they're not so comfortable with the other. The guys about here, we could tell that they're obviously very comfortable and it's going to bring to something inappropriate, and therefore it would require in this situation, even in the Erisin, to have a Shliach Bintai. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which has relations to previous Mishnahs, and moreover, as this Mishnah itself will come to one of the specifics of Halacha that we said regarding someone saying testimony for the Halachas of Ksuba, when they would witness at the chasna to know if she was a besula, which gets a ksuba of 200, versus a lamona, that she gets a ksuba only of 100. So the Mishnah says, Ve'elu nemonim lahed begaylim. These individuals are believed to say testimonial when they're an adult, which is what's required for the halachas of Edis, masharoba kaitna, what they saw when they were minors. So although generally what you see as a minor is not valid, in these cases, as the Gemara will explain, is because they're rabbinic halachas. So we allowed the testimonial of these, now they're adults, what they had seen when they were minors. First of all, Neman Adam Leima, a person is believed to say, Zeg Sav Yodei Shalaba, this is my father's handwriting. And thus, by saying that, he's verifying and validating the document that was written through his father, even though his father died when he was very young. So therefore, it has to be going based on what he saw when he was a minor. In that case, the sages allow the testimony of this adult now, what he had seen when he was younger, which was his father's handwriting. Or Vizek Savio de Shalrabi, this was the handwriting of my teacher. Again, all these things he saw when he was a minor. And Vizek Savio de Shalach, and this is the handwriting of my brother. Another area that they believed the adult that what he saw when he was a minor is, he says, Zachar Yisi Beplainis, I recall regarding this woman, Shiyotza Bihinuma, that by her wedding she went out with Hinuma, which, as we learned in the previous, that's a certain sign that when she got married she was a Besula. Hence, what essentially he's saying is that her ksuba is 200, as we said in the beginning of the parak, and that's one of the reasons why we're bringing in this mishnah over here. And Varesha Perua, or that her head was her hair was uncovered, again saying that she was a besula. Or what he's believed is Vishaya Ish Pliny Yitzim Beis HaSefer. He says that I recall regarding this man that he left the yeshiva, and we were learned together when we were children the cheder. And again, the Gemara will explain all the reasons of all these halachas, why he's believed to say this, although it's something he's recalling from when he was a minor. But he says, I remember this person when we were young boys in elementary school, that his father would take him out, litvul lecha b'truma, to go out and immerse him, so that he's immersed before Harav Shemesh, before sundown, to eat truma that evening. And v'shahayi chalikim on alagarin, I remember, we were kahanim, I remember when he used to split with us the truma by the granary, again testifying that obviously that person is a kain. Or another testimony is Vamokam has a Beis HaPras. I can recall from when I was younger that this place is only a Beis HaPras, which will explain the Amid Beis, what does that refer to? Or Vadkan the Yinuboin B'Shabbos, he could testify that, oh, I remember when I was a boy, we used to go till here on Shabbos. In other words, that's where the Tchum, the 2000 Amar, a city halacha's limits for the city on Shabbos, he says, I remember that that's the city limits. So all these things, a gadol that is recalling from his when he was a minor could say over these things and he's believed. Aval ein adam neman leima, but a person is not believed. And the reason for these halachas is because you're trying to take away money from somebody else. You're trying to remove money that you need a full-fledged testimony that you can't just believe what a person had seen when he was a minor. Now, the reason for ksuba the Gemara will explain is different, although that's also to remove money, to collect money. That's because actually the majority of women get married as a besula. So therefore, he's not really telling us anything new. He's just revealing what is already considered a fact based on the Rav. But however, again, a person is not believed to say that Derech Hayil Aplani B'Makom Hazeh, that I know this person, it was his path through this person, through this area. In other words, that's a financial matter, which who owns this road? Or Maimon Amisbet Hayil Aplani B'Makom Hazeh, he's not believed to say that this individual had this area that it's his to do what's called the maimid, to stop and to eulogize, meaning they used to have on their stops to the Beis HaKavod, to the cemetery, they would make certain stops to eulogize and to make stops. And that was the seven stops they would make on the way. So he's not believed to say that this person had these rights, because again, that's a financial matter, and therefore, a person is not believed to say what he saw when he was a minor. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies that Amar v'huna b'rid Yeshua, this though he said that a minor is believed to testify that this was, let's say, his father or all these individuals' handwritings, that's only v'hu shiyesh gadol imo. That's only if he also has an adult with him, as the Tesis Rid explains, because you need to have two witnesses to say testimony on the signatures that it's theirs, as the Gemara had learned in the previous daf, because although the Rabban argue on Rebbe that say you don't need to have two witnesses on each signature, that's only if someone says this was my handwriting. But if he says, let's say this was my friend's signature, then the rabbis agree that you need to have two witnesses on each signature. Now what Rav Huna is saying over here is that it's only that from the two witnesses that you need to have on each signature is only if you have one minor testifying. But you cannot have two. And that is if you have two individuals, when they're an adult, that want to say what they saw when they were minor to know that this was the signature, they're not believed. Rather, you need to have at least one of the two to say testimony, what this person is saying, what he saw when he was a minor, to have one of them to be an adult, and then they'll be able to validate the verification of the signatures. Now the Gemara says, Vitzricha, we needed to have all these three cases of verification of handwriting, which this person is recollecting from when he was a minor, which we had three different cases, recalling his father's, his teacher's, and his brother's. And the reason is, Diyesh min aviv, if we would have said regarding his father's handwriting that he recalls and he's believed, and thereby we validate this document, that's mishum d'shchiach gabe, because a son is near a father, so he's always looking at what his father is writing and doing, so he recognizes his father's handwriting. But his teacher is not around all the time like his father, and he's not seeing what his Rebbe's writing, maybe we wouldn't believe him. V'yashmin and Rabbi, had we only said regarding his teacher, Shum de Isla Emosi de Rabbi, because he has this awe of his teacher, and therefore, wow, he sees this is my teacher's handwriting, he really is Mesim Lev, he really notices it and it gets in really encoded in his memory. Of a love of life, maybe his father doesn't have such awe and he's not paying attention to what his father's writing. Maybe he wouldn't be believed over there. So therefore, he had to see both teacher and father. V'yashmin han etarti, and had we only said those two cases, so aviv d'shchiach gabei, we would have thought to say, look, father, you believed, to say what you recall when you were younger, because, yeah, you were always around him. V'rabbi d'islei mosei, and your teacher because of the awe. So that really gets encoded into the brain. Aval ocha, but regarding a brother's handwriting, d'leslei loiho v'loiho, where you don't have either one, you're not always around your brother, and neither do you have this major awe. Eim aloi, maybe then you would say that you're not believed to say what you recall as a minor. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Even the key mishtaris from the Rabbanim. Since the whole concept of validating a document is only rabbinic, because actually biblically you don't have to validate a document, as the Gemara brought on Daf Yud Ches and Beis Nimer Rish Lakish, that Eidim Achasum Al Ashtar, when you have witnesses sign on a document, it's Nasakim Mishanech Gorei Dusim Ebezin, it's like it's already verified their testimony as if two witnesses came and we verify what they're saying is true. So since the whole concept of when a borrower says, I don't believe this is a true document, that you have to verify, that's rabbinic halacha. So rabbinic halacha himnu rabbanon b'drabbanon. So the rabbis allowed for rabbinic law these situations. In other words, they believed on the rabbis required something, so they could then go ahead and believe those which are biblically not really valid because they only saw it when they were minors. And actually, that's all the halacha says. Gemara will explain for our Mishnah what the adult is believed to say what he saw as a minor, which biblically that's not valid testimony because it has to be you saw it as an adult. It's here you're not uprooting a biblical halacha. It's what's called heim amru. They said you need to have testimony, meaning to validate the document. And they said, so we're going to believe these people because what we're saying we believe is that it's true. And therefore, this adult is believed to say what he saw as a minor. Now, similarly, the Mishnah said, Zachar Yisa Beplainus. He could say, I remember I was at that wedding when I was 9 years old. I remember by that woman, Shiyatsubi Numa Varisha Perua, that she went out with Hinuma and her head where it was uncovered. So obviously she's a basula. So we said in the Mishnah that he's believed. And the question is, Maitama, what's the reason? As we said regarding the Seifa, when it's Lahitzi Maman, when it's for her to collect a certain amount of Kesuba, we don't believe. So the Gemara says, "Kim the Rav Nashim Besulis Nisa." Since the majority of women get married as Besulis, so Gila Milsam Amahu is just. It's not. It's actually something that doesn't even require a testimony. It's just revealing something that we would have known. We just don't want to say that maybe it's not clear, and he's just verifying what we already know based on the majority. That's why we believe him. But if it wasn't a Rav, then you're right. We wouldn't believe him to be Maitzi Mammon. Now, another thing that we said that this person's believed to say as a recollection from his youth is for Shahayi Ish playing the Yitzim Beis HaSev. He says, "I remember when we were in Cheder together that this boy used to go out of yeshiva. And his father would take him out because it would get dark early and we weren't finished school yet. And he wanted him to be lit for lecha b'truma, to immerse himself in the mikvah so he could eat truma that night." So that's verifying that this person is a kohen and he's believed to do that. Now the question the Gemara asks is, v'dilma evet kohen, who maybe he wasn't a kohen. Maybe the one who was coming to collect him was actually the master. And this was his slave. Now, the slave, well, they keep all the halachas like women do, and maybe that's why he was in yeshiva and he was learning, but who said that he's a kohen? Maybe he was a slave of a kohen. But now that he was freed, he's like a Yisrael. How could he verify him as a kohen? Because he saw him being taken out to be tevel in the mikvah to eat truma that night, which the abdi kohanim could eat truma. So now the Gemara says, Mesayel Reb Shimon Levi. So this supports Reb Shimon Levi. How? He says it's forbidden for a person to teach his slave Torah. Now that could be for different reasons, because it might be confused with a regular kohen as a full-fledged Yisrael. So you're not allowed to teach him Torah. Now here, he says, a part of it he's validating, verifying because he took him out to Tevel, but one thing we know of the storyline was also he was in yeshiva. Oh, he's in yeshiva. Obviously he wasn't an Evid kohen. It must be he was a regular kohen, and that's why he's taking him to eat truma. Because if it was ever kind, he wouldn't have put him in yeshiva. He's not allowed to teach him Torah. Now, that the Gemara's question is, Valai, is it really true, like Reb Shimon Levi, that a kohen cannot teach his slave Torah? But V'tanya Lidna Braisa as follows. The Braisa says, if Lava Heimena Rabbi, if let's say the master borrows from his slave money, Oisha Soy Rabbi, or if his master made him, as we continue on to Amid Bey's Apotropos, he put him in charge of his estate to buy and to sell his merchandise. Or if the slave puts on tefillin in the front of his master, again, something that is not obligated because he has the halachas like a woman, as a Jewish woman, or he read three psukim in shul, these things are not indicative that, which would then say that he's obviously a free man and that he's not a slave and therefore he can go free. In other words, we don't say that must have been he freed him, because he wouldn't have the audacity to go ahead and do things that free men do, because all the things that he's doing are not slave things. Taking charge of his estate, or putting on tefillin, or reading in shul. Now, well, one thing that we see is that obviously that the Braisa says that these are not indicative that he's a free man. Yeah, could be a slave. He put him in charge of the estate, and could be he let him learn, and he putting on tefillin doesn't mean that he's not a nevet. So we see that there are slaves that learn Torah, because here we see that he's reading three psukim in the basic nesses, even though he's an eved. So how can you say that you can't teach your slave Torah? So I think my answer is no. Hasam de ikri eved medaita. That case where he was reading three psukim in shul is when he did it on his own. That you don't have to stop him. And that doesn't mean that he's not an Eved anymore. Kikamrina, when did we say that he's obviously not an Eved? Is the Konoig Bey Minig Bonim. If he treats him like a son, that's forbidden. You can't take him and put him at the cheder and teach him Torah in yeshiva. That is forbidden to do. That you only do for a son. That's what supports the B'shubon Levit. Obviously, that from when this person said over the story that he took him out of yeshiva to take him to Tevel, to eat truma, that obviously he's either a kohen or eved kohen, and he cannot be an eved kohen because then he wouldn't have been in yeshiva, because that's forbidden to teach him Torah. For him to learn Torah, fine, that's okay, you don't have to stop him. But to teach him like a son, that's forbidden. Now, the Mishnah continued on that was that he took him out of the Beis HaSefer, out of yeshiva, litvo lecha b'truma, to immerse himself to eat truma that night. So that the Gemara explains is b'truma d'rabbanan. In other words, what we're believing this adult, what he had seen as a minor, was only for to eat rabbinic truma, for example, truma from chutz la'aretz, or those are fruits, not of dog and tirish b'yitzer. That is what we believe him for. But that's as we explained before, because really this is doesn't allow it for biblical testimonial, because it's only what he saw as a minor. But for rabbinic halacha, for that we believe the person. Similarly, we said in the Mishnah that he's believed Vishah Yechelik Iman Algerin, says that, oh, he used to split with us the Truma by the granary. Obviously, he's a Kain. Now again, the Gemara asks, Vadema Evet Kain, maybe he was a slave of a Kain. A slave of a Kain could also eat Truma, and therefore, maybe he was going to the granary to get Truma. Who said that he was a Kain? So the Gemara says, Tznan Kaman D'Amar, obviously, our Mishnah is going like the opinion that says that in Chelkin Truma Le'Evet, you're not allowed to apportion Truma to a slave by the granary, unless his master's with him. And here we're saying that he was by himself. Obviously, he was a Kohen, not an Eved Kohen. The time, like within the Braisa, that the beginning of the Braisa explains a specific type of a case. When you have a Kohenis, that means a family of Kohanim, that her child got mixed up with the child of her maidservant. Now, the halach is that both of them could go to the granary and they take one portion. Then, and the reason is both of them are allowed to eat Truma, both the Kain and the Eved Kain. But the reason is because in Chalkin Truma Le'Eved, the reason why they have to go together, although both of them are allowed to eat Truma, now we don't know who's really the Kain and who's the Eved Kain, is because you cannot apportion Truma to an Eved, Elim Kain Rabba Imo, unless the master, meaning the real son, one of them, they're both youth, but one is the master and one is the slave, so the slave cannot go unless the master is with him, to Rabbi Huda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Now, therefore, if one of them goes by himself, so then they wouldn't go ahead and give it to the Eved Kain, because maybe then they'll establish him to be as a Kain, and maybe he's really the Eved one. So therefore, when you have these two mixed up children, they have to go together, as the Gemara will explain shortly, because the halach is that we establish that someone's going to collect, obviously, that he's a Kain. Now, Rabbi Yisim, he says, no, Yachal Hu Shayayma, the person here, one of these two children, we don't know if he's an Eved Kain or a Kain, he could go by himself. It doesn't have to go with the other boy. And the reason is because he could say, look, I'm Kohen, and if my mother was the Kohenes, and that means I'm a Kohen, so Tenuli B'Shevel Atzmi, give it to me because I'm myself. Then I'm a Kohen, so I can get by the granary. V'm Eved Kohen, and if my mother was the Shivcha, and now that means I'm a slave of a Kohen, well, Tenuli B'Shevel Rabbi, give me because my master. An Eved Kohen can also eat. Now the Gemara explains, and this first opinion of Rabbi Huda is the opinion that obviously our Mishnah is going like also, is that b'mkaymish Rabbi Huda, in the location of Rabbi Huda, hayimalin mitshruma liyuchsin, they would elevate a person's status if they saw him getting a portion truma by the granary to yuchsin, meaning to yichus, to lineage, to saying, oh, this person could get married to a very distinguished lineage of a woman, because obviously that's what kahanim are, very distinguished yichus. Now, that might not be the case, because he might be in the Eved. Oh, so that's Rabbi Huda says, since they would, people seeing someone getting Truma, would assume that he's for Yichus also appropriate, and that's not appropriate for Eved Kain, so therefore we're not letting Eved Kain go by himself to collect. He must go with his master. Then they know, oh, he's not necessarily a Kain, he might be an Eved Kain. That's who our Mishnah is going like, that it must be that if they saw this person when he was a youth, he's recalling he saw this person, obviously he was not an Eved Kain because he was by himself. But in the place of Rabbi Yasi, they would not elevate a person's status from just getting Truma to Yuchsin. And that goes together, because therefore that Eved Kain could go, because there's no halachic problems that are going to come out of it. They're not going to assume that he's a Kain for Yichus purposes also. And therefore he would not be like our Mishnah, because if someone saw someone for recalling from his youth that he was got Truma by the Garen, it might not be that it was a Kain. Could be he was an Eved Kain. But our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Huda. Now, Tanya in the Braisa, that Amr Blaz Rabbi Yasi, he said, Miyamei lohi adati. I never gave testimonial. Pam achas adati, one time I said testimony, and you know what happened? V'helu eved l'kun alpi. And they turned an eved, a slave of a kohen, into a kohen based on what I said. They went and they married it, like they gave him for yichus purposes as a kohen, which was a big problem. Now, the Gemara wonders, Helu Sakat Adik, can you really entertain that because of what he had said that caused them to treat an Eved Kain like a Kain? But Hashta, if Uma Behemden Shal Tzadikim, if we find by just the animals of the righteous people, Tidein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevel Ta'atakal Yodim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring any mishaps through them, even through the animal of the righteous, which is a famous story from a Gemara Chulin of Zayin Amanav, which the donkey of Reperes Ben Yahar. So tzaddikim atzmal kol shekein. So all the more so the righteous. How can you say something that he had done that a takala happened, a mishap happened through what he had said? So the Gemara says no. Ela bikshu lahalas ever l'kun alpi. No, what they wanted to, it didn't end up happening, but they wanted to make a slave of a kohen into a kohen based on what I had said. So the Gemara explains what had happened, because chazza ba'aser de Reb Yasi. he saw a person getting truma by the granary in the location of Rabbi Yossi. Now, in the place of Rabbi Yossi, an Eved Kohen was allowed to get truma because in his place they weren't mala from truma leyuchsin. But for Ozel va'asad va'asad Rabbi Yehuda, but then when he said testimony, he didn't realize this difference. He said testimony in the location of Rabbi Yehuda, where there they would mala, they didn't give truma to an Eved Kohen. And therefore they were mala from truma leyuchsin. Now that was a problem, because if he's saying in the place of Rabbi Yehuda that he saw this person by the granary, oh, so therefore they're assuming that it must be a Kohen and not an Eved Kohen, and that was the attempt that they had to make him into a Kohen, which could have been a problem. Now the Gemara continues, our Mishnah has said that v'shamokam hazeh beis hapras, a person is believed to say what he recalls from his youth, that I remember this area was a beis hapras. Now a pras is a field where there was a grave that was plowed over. Now that makes this area into a beis hapras, which is an area of 100 feet, 100 amma, which that was Chachamim estimated that when this plowing, that will take, when the plowing goes into the ground and it gets the bones of the corpse, so that would go ahead and scatter the bones in an area of 100 amma. Now, so therefore you have to be concerned that maybe you touched or moved the bone of a barley corn when you're walking through that field, which will then transmit tumma with maga, touch, or masa of carrying. And therefore, that's a halacha of a rabbinic halacha of a beis hapras, which this person is believed to say this was a beis hapras. So the Gemara asks, Maitem, what's the reason why we believe in regarding this area of halacha? So that the Gemara answers, as we had said, regarding all these areas of halacha, because beis hapras derabanan. The halacha of beis hapras, which is that if you go in this area of 100 amma, there's possible tumma, and therefore you have to be suspect for that, is only rabbinic halacha. And then, as we said, regarding rabbinic halacha, for certain things, they believe that this person, what he saw in his youth. And the way we see that this is rabbinic halacha is because the Amar B'Yehuda Mishmol, he says that, Menapech adam beis hapras v'haylech, a person can blow on the ground of this beis hapras and walk through it. And he can rely on that. And the reason is because if there's a large bone, so then he could see it. And if it's a small bone, when he's blowing, it's going to move away. Now, although he's what's called being mahal, he's leaning over it, that's not a problem because a bone the size of a barley corn does not transmit tumma when you're leaning over it. Only if it's the spine or the entire skull or the majority of the amount of bones or that take up the height of the bones. Now, therefore, that's a proof that it's a rabbinic halacha because of the leniency that we have of relying on that. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami, Mishmid to Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, Beis HaPras Shenidish, a Beis HaPras that was already stepped on, meaning there was many people that had walked through this field many times, then Tahar, then we'll say that the field will be Tahar, and that we rely on this leniency and say that whatever bone there must have been, there was already pulverized, and it's already less than that amount, as the Gemara says, the my time. It's not possible that if there was a bone the size of a barley corn, that it wasn't already pulverized and stepped on by the people that had stepped there already, to be less than that shear of a barley corn. Now, obviously, we see that that's only rabbinic concern, because for biblical halacha, we wouldn't have been so lenient. And therefore, since we see the halacha beis hapras is rabbinic, that's why, again, we believe this person's testimony, what he had seen in his youth. Another area of halacha that we said he's believed is if he says, I remember when we were young, we used to walk, that up until here we would go on Shabbos. He's believed to say that's the Tchum of Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, obviously, that the Tanna Mishnah holds that the halacha of Tchum is only rabbinic halacha, and not like those who want to say that Tchum is Dairaisa. Now, however, the Mishnah said, the person's not believed to say what he was recalling from his youth, that this was a path. I remember this was Shimon's path through this field, to say that, which is a financial matter. Or, I remember that this person, this was his area when he would be burying one of his relatives, that these were the stops he made and they would make eulogies. He's not believed to say that. So they must, my time, but why here not? You cannot remove money from someone else based on a person's testimony, what he had recalled from his youth. And that they didn't allow a person to say. Now, related to these halachas of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings Tanan Rabbanan Braisa. Neman HaTinik, a child is believed to say testimony when he becomes an adult, what he saw as a minor, again like the halachas of a Mishnah, lame it to say, Kach Amali Abba, I remember, this my father told me, the Mishpacha Zutayr, Mishpacha Zutameh. This family is pure and this family is impure. You think it really that he's saying that the father said this family is pure and this family is impure? How can you say about a family about purity and impurity? So Ella, rather, mishpachas u'ksheira, that this family is kosher, that they have good yichus, they're definitely from Jewish pure lineage, u'mishpachas u'psula, but this family is pasul. A person is believed to say that as testimony from what he heard from his father. Another thing he's believed to say is v'shachalnu b'ktsatsa, that we ate by the ktsatsa, which Yimro will shortly explain what does that mean, shabas pleini l'pleini, when this man got married to this woman, I remember that we ate by the ktsatsa, which we'll say exactly what's the halacha. And another halacha he's believed is v'shayinu melichim chalo matanis l'pleini l'pleini. I remember when we were young, my father would take us and we would deliver challah and the different gifts that go to a kohen, that we gave it to this person, thus verifying that this person's a kohen. Now, however, that's only al de atzmai. That's only if this former child is saying testimony that it was through me that my father would send. I was the boy that would go bring the challah and the matanas to this person. Aval de acher, aval de acher. But he's not believed to say, I remember my father would send that person to go bring over, that he wouldn't be believed to verify, because if he didn't go himself, he might be making a mistake. It's only if he himself went to deliver, for that he's believed. Now, on that, the Braisa says, but v'kulon, regarding all these cases, if he was a non-Jew and then he converted, where he's saying testimony when he's a Jew now, what he had seen when he was a non-Jew, or Eved v'nishtachar, if he was a slave and then he was freed, so although now it's a similar parallel to the case of being a minor, which is not a good age, and then being adult, which is, here also a slave is not and non-Jew is not, but when they become freed or Jewish, then they're an adult and believed to say this, but what they saw when they were non-Jewish, ain't the one that they're not believed to say testimony. And that's where it differs from a child to an adult. However, ve'ein neman leimar. However, a person is not believed to say what he had seen from his youth, if he's saying, as we said before, derech ha'il plain makom hazeh, that there was a path over here, that this was this person's, or ma'amin ha'misbar ha'il plain makom hazeh, that on the way to the cemetery they would make these stops, again, as we said, because that's financial matters. Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, he says, Nemanim, that they are believed. So the Gemara wonders. Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, hi, what's it going on? Ile Masef, if he's going on seemingly the last statement before he was quoted, which was the last one of the Seifa regarding Derech Hayil playing the Makam Hazeh or Maimon and Misbud, but Afukim and Mainahu, that's removing money from someone else. That we seem to be, everyone says, that you cannot do that based on what he's recalling from his youth. So Ela Reisha, rather, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim and Bereka is arguing on the case of the Reisha. That the Tanakhama said, "V'kulan im hoyo eved kacham minis gayer." He said that, but if they were non-Jews and then converted, or eved v'nishtacher, then they're not believed, different than a minor to an adult. On that, he says that no, they are believed what they saw when they were slave or non-Jewish. So the Gemara says, "What is their argument about?" So Tanakhama said, the Tanakhama held, "Kibin to eved kachavim who lahav a dike." Since he was non-Jew, he wasn't precise. They're not going to have that same meticulousness as a Jewish person, and therefore he's not believed even though that he's Jewish. Since his intention was to convert, he was non-Jewish, but he has these leanings, it takes a while until he converts. So he is precise, he is interested, he knows about the areas of halacha to look into to make sure that this person is a kohen, that he ate truma. He's precise about all the criteria because since his intention is to convert or to be freed, therefore we would believe. Now the Gemara concludes with a clarification of one of the cases, which is that he's believed to say from his youth that he ate by the ketzatza when this man and woman got married. So the Gemara says, my ketzatza, what is ketzatza? So the Gemara says, turn back within the braisa, ketzat ketzatza, what is this case of ketzatza? Echad min ha'achen, shenosa isha she'en again slave. One of the brothers of a family married a woman that's not appropriate for him. So boin b'nei mishpacha, so the rest of the family comes, u'mevin chavis malei peres, and they bring a barrel full of fruit, v'shoivin isa be'emtzer chav v'v'imrim, and they break it in the middle of the street, and they make an announcement, achenu beis Yisrael shimu. Our brothers, the Jewish people, listen. Achinu pleini nasa isha she'en hagenis leh. Our brother, this person, married a woman that's not appropriate for him. U'misyar manu, we're afraid, shem yisar v'zar bezareinu, since we're one big family, maybe his children are going to get mixed up with our children. And we don't want that because he's tainted. Come and take for yourself a sample, meaning a sign, a remembrance, a memento, l'dorot, for the future generations that will be coming, that his children should not get mixed up with our children. And we want everyone to remember this big event. And this is the ketzatza that I ate by the ketzatza. I remember that this family came and they broke this barrel and they gave out everyone fruits. I remember, thus testifying that that person had married a woman that's inappropriate. A person is believed to say what he recalls from his youth when he's saying over that he ate from the ketzatza. Hadnu lach isha shen samrala. We shall return to the second parak in Masechta Ksubos, parak isha shen samrala.